Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Grace Community Church Wednesday night service. Thank you all for being here, if you're here in person, and thank you for tuning in if you're watching online. I'm glad summer's finally here. It's not cold anymore. But I'm going to have to get my air conditioner fixed on my van. It gets awful hot riding around on that thing. But I'm glad summer's here. People starting to get out and do stuff and gather, so that's a good thing. Let me pray for us, and we'll get right into tonight's message. Father, I just thank you for another opportunity to get up here and share what you put on my heart. Lord, I just pray that you'd help me to say what you want me to say, Lord, and I pray that everything is from you and none of my opinions or any of that stuff. I just pray that your truth would be said. And Father, I just pray that you'd prepare every heart and every mind that hears this to receive it, God, and to not only receive it, but to apply it to our lives so we can bear the fruit that you want us to bear, Lord. And we'll give you the glory. So we just turn everything over to you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. All right. Well, if you were here last week, we talked mostly about living a life that pleases God, living a life of obedience to God. And if we do that, then we can live a life that we enjoy, you know, having confidence that God is pleased with us because we're living the way that we should. And, you know, how we talked about how if we're in Christ, God is already pleased with us. You know, we can't earn God's favor. If we're in Christ, we already have God's favor. But if we're living in obedience, that helps us to live the abundant life that Jesus said he came to give us, you know. And living in obedience, if we're in Christ, God is already pleased with us. We don't have to earn points with God, so he'll be happy with us. If we're in Christ, he's already pleased with us. But living in obedience to God helps us to live a life, you know, free from guilt and shame that comes from making those bad decisions. And we don't have to deal with the bad consequences that come from those bad decisions. So, you know, I don't want anybody to think that we need to live a life in obedience just so God will be pleased with us. If you're in Christ, God's already pleased with you. The benefits of living in obedience is we got a whole lot better life when we do that. Tonight, what God's been speaking to me about all week is community. You know, we've been talking for a couple of months now on living a more godly life and having confidence towards God, you know, and not be ashamed when Jesus returns. And, you know, we talked a couple of weeks ago how to avoid spiritual relapse, you know, and then before that we talked about, do we really want to be made whole? Are we going to change the things in our life that we need to change in order to live a more godly life? So tonight I want to talk about community is what has been on my heart all week. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 7, it says, the fear of God is the beginning of knowledge. And the NLT version says it's the foundation of true knowledge. But both of those translations say that fools despise wisdom and they despise instruction or discipline. And, you know, we talked some about the fear of God last week and how, you know, the Bible, for the most part, is not talking about being afraid of God, but it's talking about living in a way to where we have reverence for God or respect for God. And that's why we're obedient to God, because we respect God and we reverence God. And, you know, believing and trusting God, that's the that his way is the best for us. And I think most people that are struggling to live a godly life are struggling simply because they don't want to do it God's way. You know, they're not willing to give up control. They still want to live a godly life, but they want to do it their way. And I can speak from experience, that does not work. I tried to do that myself. That's exactly where I was. I said I wanted to live a godly life, but I wanted to do it on my terms. And you won't do that. As long as you're in charge, or as long as I'm in charge, all we're going to do on our own terms is frustrate ourselves and wind up either resenting God and resenting God's people, or we'll just get frustrated with the whole church idea completely and stop coming. Because my plans aren't going the way I want them to. So we, if when we do come to God, we got to do it God's way. Because our way just does not work. We just read, you know, there in Proverbs chapter 1 that the Bible says it's foolish to despise the wisdom of God and His instruction and His discipline. I've run into this a couple of times since last Wednesday, but every week I try to share Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6 with you. And the reason I keep trying to hammer that in there is because it works. You know, it really works. If we apply that to our lives every day, it works. And if we do that in reverse, it never works. You know, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. You know, if we do the opposite of that, and we trust in our own understanding, and don't acknowledge God in all of our ways, then it never works out. So if we put just those two verses into practice on a daily basis, you can live a godly life. They're simple. I mean, they're really easy to do, but in order to do that, we have to turn control over to God. You know, it says to trust God with all my heart and not lean to my own understanding. And verse 6 says, acknowledge Him in all my ways and He will show me what to do. So if we're applying those two verses on how to live a godly life, then what does God say about living a godly life? You know, from the very beginning, God said it's not good for man to be alone. Even before He formed Eve, or, you know, before He formed the women, He said it's not good for man to be alone. And you can see that in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 18. And it says, the Lord God said, it's not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet for him. So if God says it's not good for man to be alone, so what makes us think that we can live a godly life on our own? You know, absent from doing it God's way. God said from the very beginning, it's not good for us to be alone. God designed us to be in community. You know, all through the Bible, God says over and over, we shared this before too. It's a, you know, just a repeating phrase all through the Bible. It says, they shall be my people and I shall be their God. He never intended for anybody to be a solo. He intends for us to be a part of His people. You know, the covenant that God made with Abraham, all the way back in Genesis chapter 17 and verse 3. You can read about that. And He told Abraham, I'm going to make you a great nation. So that's not the verse that I must have wrote down the wrong one, but I'll find it. Sorry about that. Oh, it's in verse 4. It says, as for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be a father of many nations. And that's God speaking to Abraham. So in Genesis 17:4, He says He's going to make him a great nation. And He told Adam and Eve in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 28 to be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moves upon the earth. And the Bible says about Jesus in Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 7 that the increase of His government and peace, there shall be no end. You know, it don't say His government, that just His government will never end. It says the increase of it will never end. So we're supposed to be fruitful and multiply. We can't do that by ourselves. That's why God never intended for us to be alone. That's why He said it's not good for man to be alone. God's design for us from the beginning was to be in community. So that's what I want to talk about tonight. You know, what is community? And I think a lot of people get the wrong idea of community. Community isn't that we all live on the same street and we've got a cul-de-sac. You know, I mean, there are communities like that, but that's not what the Bible's talking about. Community goes way deeper than that. Community means that we actually commune with each other. Take Moses, for example. All through the story of Moses in the Bible and the children of Israel, you'll see where it says, "And the Lord spoke unto Moses." And he would speak to Moses all the time, and he would commune with Moses, and then Moses would commune with the people and share with them what God had said to him. An example for that is Exodus 25 and verse 22. It's talking about the mercy seat. And it says, "There I will meet with you, and I will commune with you from above the mercy seat, from between the two cherubims which are upon the ark of the testimony, of all things which I will give you in commandment unto the children of Israel." And that's how they learned the ways of God, through Moses communing with God. And then he would commune with the people, or communicate with them, you know, what God had told him. He would communicate that to the people. Then they would commune with each other about the things of God. And they would commune with their children the things of God, and teach them the things of God so they could pass them on from generation to generation. And that's still true today. You know, we all gather here on Sunday mornings as a community of believers, you know, not because we all live really close to here and this is our physical community, but because we all have the same faith in God. We meet here because we're a community of believers. It don't have anything to do with our location. We all have faith in Christ, so we gather as a community of believers. You know, just like the children of Israel gathered to hear what God had communed with Moses, we gather here what God has communed or communicated on Sunday mornings to Pastor Josh, and he communes with us. And you know what God had been speaking to him about that week. And we come out and we be separated from the world together as a community of people that believe in Christ, to people, you know, that gather as the church. I mean, we all have our own personal relationship with Jesus, but none of us by ourselves makes up the body of Christ. You know, none of us on our own makes up the church of the living God. It takes all of us together to make those things. Paul's talking about that in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. He's talking about the body of Christ. In verses 12 through 14, he says, "For as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. So one person by themselves is not the body of Christ. It takes all of us together to form the body of Christ. We need each other, you know. Like I said, we all have a personal relationship with Jesus, but all of us together have a corporate relationship with Jesus. We can't be the body of Christ or the church we're supposed to be if we don't do it together. You know, God designed us to work together to accomplish the mission that he formed the church to accomplish. You know, we read about the body of Christ, but if we go on in go back in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 16 through 18. Or no, I mean, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 16 through 18. Paul is talking about the church. And he says, "And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God had said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people." You know, I've heard people preach that God says you are the temple of the living God, and he is, but Paul is talking to the entire group here. He's not talking to one person. He's talking to us as a group of people. And it says, "Wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, says the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And I will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty." So that's plural. He's talking to all of us as one. You know, each of us, we should strive to live a godly life on our own personal walk with God, but all of us should be striving to live a godly life together, too. We need to be putting forth effort to be the corporate church of God. If we go back to verse 16, you can see that by what he's saying. He's speaking to them as a whole. God says, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. You know, that's plural. I looked up the definition of commune, and I thought it was really cool. You know, when we're talking about community, in order to be a community, we have to commune together. So the definition of commune in the Strong's Concordance and all these things in that definition, we do together as a community. I mean, some of these you can do on your own, but all these are talking about what we do when we gather together as believers. One of the things was subdue. You know, we all together in submission to God. We all gather together because we have the same Lord. We all come together and humble ourselves before God together as a congregation. Another one was talk. You know, we talk together about the things of God, just like the children of Israel used to do. They commune together the things that Moses shared with them. And the word commune also means promise. You know, we've got a class going on right now on Thursday nights about the promises of God. And when we get together, we remind each other of these promises. You know, if you're going through this in life, God has a promise for that. Trust God with all your heart, like we just read in Proverbs. So we talk about the promises of God. And another one of those things in that definition was tell. You know, we tell each other what God has done in our lives, and that inspires us. You know, God did this for me this week, or you can tell me what God did for you this week. And it inspires us to hear what God's doing in each of our lives. And if we don't get together, we can't share those things together. Another part of it was pronounce. You know, we pronounce our faith in God. We share the gospel. We be the witnesses that God called us to be. And we invite people into a relationship with Jesus that we have. And here's a good one. One of the parts of the definition of commune was the answer. You know, we all need answers. We all face things every day we need answers to. And when we gather together, you know, we get the answers that we're looking for. We get that direction that we need. We get the guidance that we need when we gather together. You know, it says in Proverbs 27:17, the iron sharpens iron. So a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. When we gather together in the name of Christ, we get those answers that we're looking for. You know, I may have the answer that you need, and you might have the answer that I need. But, you know, one thing's for sure, we won't find answers by ourselves. Another part of the definition was declare. And you know how small the print is in one of those Strong's Concordances, and just the definition for that one word, commune, was almost 2 pages long. So I just took a little bit of it. And another one was declare. You know, we declare to each other. We remind each other who we are. And we declare we are followers of Christ. You know, we'll be touching that here in just a few minutes. But we read in 2 Peter last week that we remind each other on a regular basis of who we are. And so we don't get conformed back to the world. And here's one that I really like. One of the definitions of commune is to destroy. You know, we destroy what the enemy is trying to do in our lives when we gather in the name of Jesus. We don't give him his way. We strengthen one another in our faith. And another word in there was give. We give each other hope and encouragement. And then another one was be a spokesman, you know. The Bible says, we read this all the time too, that we're supposed to be ambassadors for God. That's what he's called us to be, is ambassadors. He's given us the ministry of reconciliation. But that's all I took out of that part of the definition. But that's quite a bit. I mean, that was just a little fraction of it. But my favorite part of the definition, if you go all the way back to the root word for commune, it means in between, in the midst of, among, and within. When we gather together as a community in Christ, when we gather together in His name, He is between us, He is in the midst of us, He is among us, and He is within us. And when you go all the way back to the very root of that word, it means a man between two armies. That's what that word means. I really like that. It's talking about Jesus. When we gather together as a community of Christ followers, Jesus becomes the man between two armies. You know, we become the army of God when we gather together in His name. And Jesus stands between two armies. He stands between us and the army of the enemy. You know, how cool is that? I never would have thought that would be in the definition for commune. But that just shows you how much strength is in community. When we gather together as a community of Christ followers, we actually become the army of God. And Jesus stands with us to fight the army of the enemy. And He fights for us. And I told you we'd touch on this again. We have to remind one another who we belong to. You know, that's one of the main reasons we get together. And I want to read that verse that we hit last week in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 12 through 13. This is one of the biggest reasons we get together all the time. Peter says, "Wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them and be established in the present truth." Yeah, I think it's neat, as long as I'm in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. So we have to remind each other who we are. We're not like the world. You know, we belong to Jesus. And when He says, "Come out and be you separate," He don't mean by yourself, just you, you know. He don't mean go isolate and stay home and stay out of the world. He means us as a whole. The church needs to stand out from the world and not let the worldly ways in. But we are supposed to gather together. You know, it's easy to slip back into worldly ways if we don't stay in community with each other, with other believers. You know, we're, like we just read, we're strong together, but we're easy prey when we're alone. We need encouragement and we need that accountability in our lives. We won't get either one of those things on our own. I don't know, for me, it's hard to think about community without thinking about the early church in Acts. You know, that's a famous passage in Acts 2 where they're talking about everybody sold all their stuff, and I want to read those verses to you and look at them in a little bit of a different light. In Acts 2, verses 42 through 44, it says, "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common." And that's what I want to focus on right there. You know, most people, when they preach on that passage, they're talking about, you know, that's after Peter had got up and preached and 3,000 souls got saved that day. And the next verse is talking about, you know, they sold all their stuff and they gave people that needed. And they did, and that's awesome. But that's not all the word "common" here means. By definition, it's talking more about what people were receiving. If we read that again, and what they're receiving is the doctrine of Christ and praying for one another. I looked up that definition for that word "common," and the reason I ain't reading verse 45 yet is because that's not what they're receiving. It actually says, the definition for that word "common" there means to receive something, and to be a partaker of. And if we'll go back to verse 43, it says, if we read it again in that light, it says, "Fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles." You know, that's saying like we started out, we read the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge or wisdom. So verse 43 is really saying, and an understanding of God and his salvation plan fell upon every soul, and all that believed were together. They became the body of Christ that day. They all had the same faith in Christ. And then the next verse, in verse 45, is when they talked about they sold all their stuff. And that came after they had everything in common. They had everything in common before they sold their stuff and distributed it amongst each other. They sold their stuff because they had all things in common. They came to the knowledge that we're all equal in Christ, and that's what they had in common. And once they realized that, that's why they sold all their stuff. They had compassion on one another. They had love for each other because they all belong to Christ. You know, that's what Paul was saying back in 2 Corinthians, or 1 Corinthians, I mean, chapter 12, if we read verses 25 and 26. He's talking about the body of Christ again. It says there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. That whether one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. So that's why it's so important for us as a body of believers to get together, to realize that we are brothers and sisters in Christ. We have to love each other because we belong to him together. We did a study a few weeks ago about being united and becoming one, like Jesus prayed in his prayer in John 17. And, you know, like I keep saying, we can't be the church alone. We are the church. We make up the church together. And that's why the author of Hebrews says, you know, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. We can read that in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 23 through 25. It says, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Exhort one another and encourage one another. Remind one another who we are. That's what we do when we gather together as as believers in Christ. You know, we started out talking about living a godly life, and you'll never live a godly life without being a part of God's people. You know, I tried that for a long time without being a part of the body of Christ. And once you do start coming to church, you got to get involved. You know, you can't just be just a member of a church. We have to become and start being a part of the church. We have to realize that we are the church. You know, it's not this building. It's not a place we go. It's who we are, and we are that together. And just like members of the body have a function, you have a function in the body. You might not think you do, but you do. You know, God would not have created you if you didn't have a purpose, if you didn't have a function in the body. So we've got to start spending time together. I know my excuse for me for a long time was I don't know those people and I don't trust those people. Well, you know, you'll never get to know anybody if you don't spend any time with them. You can't get to know people if you don't spend time with them. And you'll never trust anybody until you spend some time with them and get to know them. You know, that's why we have all these different life groups and stuff starting up. I'm excited about all of them. You know, it's always awkward and scary to be the new kid on the block. Me and Kathy were just talking a while ago. You know, when I first started getting involved in church, I was scared to death because I'd been isolated so long on purpose that I didn't know how to act in public. I didn't know how to act at church. I wasn't used to being around people. And it's really awkward and it takes some getting used to. But you gotta get in there and God will help you get over that. Now when I come in, I love it, you know. I feel at home at church. I have a I belong somewhere now. You know, I have a family that I can talk to. I've got a family of believers. And I am part of a community. You know, not a place with a cul-de-sac. I'm part of a group of believers, you know, that have the same faith I have. And I, you know, I talk about life groups. I love the way Phil and Cindy's, they're always saying, do life together. That's what their class is about, that they're out there doing right now. And that really works. That's the way God designed it to work. You know, we got family day coming up Sunday, and I hope everybody comes out. I invite you to come out if nobody's invited you yet, and just fellowship with us. You know, eat some good food and just have fun. There's going to be plenty of stuff for the kids to do. So bring all your kids and just have fun. You know, we don't have to just come to church when we're having a service. That's what community is for. We can just have fun together. We can get together just to enjoy the fellowship and enjoy one another. And then just have a good, enjoyable time. And I'm really happy to see it. You know, like I said, it's starting to warm up. People are getting out. And I think we're really starting to grow as a community and as the church God wants us to be. And that, I'm just really excited about it. And, you know, I'm not talking about just Grace Community Church. I'm talking about the church as a whole. You know, when we had the turkey shoot the other day, I bet half the people that came don't even go to church here. But it was good to fellowship with them. It was good to spend time together and get to know people. And, you know, that's how we learn to get to know each other and trust one another, is by spending time together with things like the turkey shoot. We got the new KOZ Kids Outdoor Zone ministry that we're starting up, you know, for the men's group and all the, you know, the young kids, the teenagers. That's another opportunity for us all to get to know each other. I know the women's events, they've been having a lot more stuff than they had too. And it's times like those that we do grow closer together and get to know each other. So to have community, we have to commune with one another, you know, spend time with one another, share our faith together. We have to have things in common, you know, and that's talking about our faith, you know, our salvation. It says in Ephesians 4 and verse 5 is the best example I can think of that. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. That's not talking about, you know, my stuff or your stuff or me selling all my stuff so we all got the same things. It's talking about our faith. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. So to have community, we've got to have those two things. We have to commune with each other, and we have to have a common faith. But we also, the next thing we have to have is to be committed. I don't know why I put this in my notes right here, but God had me put that in there. You know, the Bible not only says, I don't know if you know this or not, the Bible is called the Bible. All that means is the holy book. Because I looked that up to see what it meant a while back. And that's all it means, the holy book. But the Bible not only says that we are the body of Christ and the church, it also says that we are the bride of Christ. We have to be committed and faithful to Christ. Just like a bride is supposed to be committed and faithful to her husband. And just like a husband is supposed to be, you know, fully committed and faithful to his wife. You know, Jesus is 100% faithful to us. James chapter 1, verses 6 through 8, it says, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. And before that, it was talking about if you need wisdom, ask God and he'll give you wisdom. But it says, let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavers is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. You know, like that verse just said, we can't expect anything from the Lord if we're not committed to him. We have to choose, you know, am I going to live for God or am I going to live for myself and for the world? And I think that's a decision that a lot of people are struggling with right now. And if you really want a godly life, you have to choose. I mean, you can't live them both. God's word is really clear on that. You know, like I said, Jesus is faithful. He died. He came from heaven, was born as a man, lived and died so we could be forgiven and have eternal life. So we have to be committed to him. We have to live for him. It's got to be a lifestyle. It can't just be I'll attend a church service every once in a while. And not only that, we have to be committed to our church, you know, committed to our community and serve God where he wants us to serve. We have to be committed to each other as the body of Christ and truly love each other the way that Jesus commands us to. You know, we went over that a couple of weeks ago, that we are to love each other the way Jesus said that he loved us, the way he loved his disciples. And how did they do that? They did life together. You know, they spent every day together. They went fishing together. They went on hikes together. They did ministry together. They did all those things together. So we have to be committed to living for God and just and to our church and to each other. And we have to be an active part of the community like they did in Acts chapter 2. You know, we need to get involved. I look forward to seeing you Sunday on Family Day. I hope you're here. It's from 4 to 6, if you don't know what time it is. But there's going to be plenty of food and fun things for the kids to do. We're going to have blow-ups and just all kinds of fun things to do. But I do hope you come and join us so we can fellowship and get to know one another a little better by doing life together. You know, we keep talking about living a godly life, and you need to be committed and you need to be in community and all that. But if you don't know Christ, that's where you have to start. You know, if you've never surrendered your life to Christ, then I invite you to do that right now, tonight. You know, that's where it starts. The Bible says if you'll confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, then you will be saved. And that's for whosoever. I think in verse 13 it says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So it don't matter about your past. It don't matter what you've done. Salvation is open to anybody. But if you've never done that and you're trying to live a godly life, you'll never be able to do it without the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. So if you've never surrendered to Christ, I urge you to do that and start your new life. And God will help you with that. And God's people will help you with that, you know. Get in the community. Get involved. Start spending some time with each other, and you will grow in Christ. But that's all God gave me this week. I hope that helps somebody. I mean, I went to church for a long time and didn't get committed. I didn't get involved in anything. I just wanted to slip in, you know, listen to the sermon and slip back out. Didn't want to spend any time with anybody. Just thought the act of coming to church was going to give me a better life, and it don't. You do have to get involved. You got to invest in the kingdom of God if you want to live a life for God. So I urge you, if you're not involved in anything, get involved. It's actually fun. You know, we're starting up all kinds of activities right now for you to get involved in, and it's fun stuff. You know, we don't have to get together just to work. We get together just to have fun stuff, too. And that's what we're doing Sunday. So I hope to see you there from 4 to 6 on Sunday. But thank you all for coming, and thank you for tuning in online. If you're watching online, let me pray for us, and we will be dismissed. Father, I just thank you for helping me get up here and preach your word tonight. I thank you for the message, Lord. I'm excited about all the things that you're doing right now. And Lord, I pray that you help others to be excited as well. And I'm looking forward to Sunday, Lord, and the day of fellowship and fun. And I just pray, Lord, that you bless that. Help us to have a good time together, Lord, and get to know one another and grow as a family, Lord, and grow as a community. And I pray that brings more people to Christ, and I pray that it brings more glory to your name, Lord. Father, I just pray that you be with everybody tonight as they go home. I pray that you keep them safe as they travel. And Lord, we just pray that you'll bring us back safely on Sunday. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.